Welcome to That Weekend Feeling with Darren Mann.
It is That Weekend Feeling with Darren Mann, brought to you by The Weekend Post and The Daily Dispatch Weekend Edition. Leading sports story in today's copy of The Herald, Friday the 3rd of September. Fierce contest expected in BCM Ironman event. There may be no spectators allowed, and understandably fewer entrants than in 2020, but competition is still expected to be fierce when the Ironman 70.3 South African Triathlon is hosted on Sunday in Buffalo City for the 14th time. And your leading sports story in today's issue of the Daily Dispatch. The Proteas problems just got worse as they began their limited overs tour of Sri Lanka in a dispiriting manner, going down by 14 runs against the hosts in Colombo yesterday in the opening three-match ODI series. Those are your sporting headlines from The Herald and The Daily Dispatch newspapers for Friday the 3rd of September. Find out more by going to heraldlive.co.za and dispatchlive.co.za.
Each one of us has a story to tell and a story to share. A story that deserves to be heard. A story that inspires, motivates, and gives people a reason to keep going. A story about our triumphs as individuals and as a team. A story about our humble beginnings and what the future holds for us. A story about our heritage and that which brings us together. It is these stories that connect us. The Herald. Whatever you live for, we live to tell that story for you.
Our guest on the show today, the First Lady of Springbok Rugby, and I can scarcely believe there is a Bok fan alive on the face of planet Earth who doesn't know that's Anne Lee Murray, Springbok Rugby Public Relations Manager for all of 20 years now. She joins us on the show. Anne Lee, welcome and congratulations on your book.
Thanks, Darren. Great to chat to you again.
Has it been a long time in the making, or was it a fairly recent decision to put the publication out?
No, it hasn't been a long time in the making. It actually was a fairly recent decision, and I think all sort of due to COVID, really, when we all had a lot of spare time. And I thought about, I'd been asked over the years, you know, people said, you know, it would be so interesting to know what goes on behind the scenes. And I thought it would be a really good opportunity to take fans and supporters into what it takes to get the players onto the field for 80 minutes. And I just thought it would be really nice and interesting, you know, and also it could educate and inspire supporters equally when it comes to the Springboks and the dynamics of what I believe is the greatest rugby team in the world.
You say in one of the press quotes attributed to you, "I hope it serves as aspiration as much as inspiration for any young woman who wants to work in sport and in this instance in rugby." I know you have done it for more than 20 years now. You have worked with 7 national coaches, almost 250 different players, and unbelievably 21 different Springbok rugby captains. You've had to adapt as you go along, surely.
Absolutely. You know, a rugby coach's job is not, it doesn't have the longevity that some of the football manager coaches have, as we know. So, you know, usually the tenure of a rugby coach in South Africa has generally been sort of, you know, 4 years World Cup to World Cup. Some have stayed longer and some shorter. So that's why, hence, you know, I've been involved in 5 Rugby World Cups, but I've had 7 coaches along the way.
And you have won 2 Rugby World Cup winners' medals, both against England. It's like picking your favorite child, but one must have been more satisfying than the other. Can I press you on that?
You can, but I'm not going to tell you, because actually they were both equally as special, purely because, you know, they were away from home, and it's so hard to win away from home in a different country, in a foreign country, you know, not having the language, having different cultures. So both of them were equally as special, you know. I wasn't involved when South Africa won it in 95, and I'm sure that at home that would have been equally as special as well.
And Lee, as much as we have the highlights, there are tough times as well. Can you pick out a few challenges that you've had to deal with, some of the big ones during the course of the past two decades?
Yeah, you know, I think as in everything, there are challenges. And there have been challenges along the way. And, you know, there have been challenges when you're trying to get a team overseas and you're on a South African passport and you have to get visas done in a short space of time. And, you know, and you have to plan ahead. I used to have to get 60 to 70 names from the coaches, you know, just to take a team of 30 overseas, because if you're overseas and there's an injury, that injury needs to be replaced, you know, sort of the next, or that by that night they have to be on the plane, and you can't wait for a day or two to get visas. So there are those challenges, the logistical challenges, but you know, you have to just adapt as you go along. And I think the more I got into the job and the longer I was there, the easier I was sort of able to adapt, because I had a network of people and commercial partners and sponsors, and, you know, my little black book filled up and I could call on people. So, and, you know, there are often challenges when you lose away from home, and you lose four or five matches along the way. You know, everybody wants your head on the block, and it's difficult for the team. But, you know, your job goes on regardless, winning or losing. The management's job goes on.
How much work does public relations manager, or how many areas does public relations manager encompass? I know it's been curious for me sometimes. There have been statements put out by you. And in other times, although they're supposed to be more constrained, a coach or a manager will respond to something that's happened. Is there a formal separation of duties? How does that work?
No, well, it's not a normal PR job, Darren. It encompasses a lot more than that, because I work as part of an operations team, and in that operations team, you know, there's a media manager, there's myself, and PR is, I mean, visas are not part of PR, but at the end of the day, visas became my job. And looking after families and that's also not part of really PR, but, you know, it became so much more. You know, then there's a logistics manager, a kit master, and a head of operations. So that sort of encompasses everything off the field besides coaching, because obviously we're not specialists in coaching or medical, you know. So the operations part takes everything away from, you know, that the players and the medical staff can concentrate on medical, and the players and the coaches can concentrate on game plans and strategies and all that. So, you know, the PR manager, it's a vast sort of sphere of all different jobs.
Yeah, yeah. Does it feel like 20 years, or if you look back, is it a bit of a blur?
No, it doesn't, you know, and it was such a wonderful sort of walk down memory lane, going through photographs and old diaries and old, you know, and old notebooks to sort of get the framework of the book and sort of try and tell the story. And it didn't. It felt like, wow, you know, just like the other day. And I still think I look younger than I did when I started.
Share the secret. You preempt my next question, which was, was all this from a remarkable memory, or have you kept scrapbooks and diaries over the years?
No, I always keep, and I still to this day, even in the digital age, I always write things down, because that's the way I like to do it. And I always had I had my diary, and then I had a little notebook that I'd carry everywhere with me in my pocket or wherever. And if I needed to write something down, I'd write that down. And I had, like, it was a black book, and then it was a gold book, and a red book, and a different book. And the players always used to laugh at what color's Anley's book this year. So I had, you know, wonderful of many of these books when I started, and it would just, I would go through them, and it would trigger a memory, as same as photographs. You know, sure, Nowadays the photographs are all online and on your phone and whatever, but I had many photo albums and press cuttings and all sorts of things from when I started doing that, and so I went through that, and that triggered many memories. And then I couldn't remember everything, and then I'd phone someone and we'd chat and we'd laugh about it, and so, you know, that's sort of how it went on.
Your book says, As Told to Mark Keohane. So tell us a little bit about the process. I'm imagining you shared the memories with Mark, and you left the hard work of doing the writing and putting the words together with him.
Yeah, so it was As Told to Mark Keohane. We sort of started HSM was one of the Highbury Safika Monica.
Yes.
Monarch was the one of the publishing houses that had approached me over the years and said if I ever wanted to write a book, you know, they would be interested, and I chatted to one or two, and they were the ones that I wanted to go with at the end. And Mark was my first media manager when I started with the team. He was employed by Harry Fulyun, and we worked together all those years ago. And you know, we had a good understanding, and we worked well together, and I like the way he puts down words. So I wrote a lot of stuff and then would send it to him, and quickly realized that, listen, he didn't really like my writing and he'd rewrite it. But he understood what I wanted and how I wanted my story to be told, because I wanted it to start with the end of my last match, and you know, the last day that the Springboks played England in that glorious night in Tokyo, Yokohama, in the 2nd of November. So that's how I wanted, and I wanted it to be told as a story. And then we also spent many days chatting and talking about various coaches, and we went through each sort of tenure of the coach, and then we also, you know, had many voice notes and WhatsApps and mails to each other.
Sure.
And that's how it came about. Yeah.
Obviously, there will be a few standout memories, lots of different personalities, occasions and experiences over the years. Could you possibly pick out one or two that jump out at you immediately?
Yeah, I think I've been asked many times, you know, what is my favorite test match? And my favorite test match is actually not a match that we won. It was John Smith's 100th test match, but it was the first test match that we played at the F&B Stadium. And it was just this wonderful, glorious day in South African history where there were 100,000 people, you know, from every single sort of, you know, everywhere in South Africa, the Rainbow Nation, you know, great diversity.
Beautiful.
And everybody came together. And it was just this wonderful, wonderful day. And it was, the test was going so well, and it was Smitty's 100th test. And, you know, in the last minute, he missed a tackle. And he just, you know, he says it was one of his worst memories and his best memories, because he played 100 tests and he missed a tackle. And the All Blacks scored, and we've been winning the whole match the whole sort of way through.
Yeah.
So that was one of my wonderful test matches. But I think the highlights would have to be the two Rugby World Cup wins that we had, you know, and also the 2009 sort of team that carried on from 2007, and it was this great team that beat the All Blacks four times in a row and that won the British and Irish Lions series. So those three would be my highlights.
There does seem, from the outside looking in, to be a particularly special vibe or atmosphere around the current Springbok team/squad. Would you agree?
Yes, I would definitely agree. And I think that, you know, that sort of the platform was started in 2018 when Rassie sort of took over, and then built in 2019, really built where we were together and won the Rugby World Cup. And obviously, you get very tight when you know, you're away from home for 20 weeks together and you win something so great and you go on this wonderful tour around the country. And you know, then last year was tough for everyone. No rugby was played. And this year, you know, I'm not with the team, but I can imagine that, you know, most of that team is together. Obviously, a few new people come in, but they've got that sort of groundwork of that sort of solidarity and that sort of geest together. And I think, you know, the bubble life and the COVID way of sort of working has been really mentally and physically tough for the guys.
Yes.
But they've got that resilience and they've got that sort of geest to go through it together. So I do think there's a great, great vibe, and I'm so excited for the rugby championships coming up.
We're speaking with Annelie Murray, the First Lady of Springbok Rugby. That is the title of the book she's just brought out. Have all your friends been bugging you for a copy?
Yeah, they've been so supportive, you know, so that's great, yeah.
Available in all good bookstores, I'm sure. If I could share with listeners what you've written about the book, I really think it's inspiring. Excuse me for a moment. I'd like to think what you're about to read is not so much my story, but my Springbok rugby journey. It isn't about me, but about the many different personalities, occasions, and experiences that made my years on the road with the Box such a remarkable memory. I hope the book can educate and inspire supporters equally when it comes to the Springboks and the dynamics around the greatest rugby team in the world. I also hope it serves as aspiration as much as inspiration for any young woman who wants to work in sport and in this instance in rugby. It can be done. I am proof that there are several other wonderfully talented professionals who worked with me. Look, you basically sum it all up there, but is there anything you'd like to add? I think particularly for young women, that's incredibly inspirational, and you're proof of it, as you say.
Yeah, I think Darren, you know, in my sort of tenure of two decades and my sort of life with the team, I had to become, you know, resilient and I had to initially work faster and harder and a little, you know, to gain that respect in a man's world, which I did. And I just had two letters. N-O was not in my vocabulary. And, you know, I always tried to find a way to do things, whether it was, you know, the right way or the wrong way. But I always tried to find a solution to try and do things. And I think that, you know, you just have to have that resilient resolve and be tough out there, because there were many days that it was lonely and hard. I was the only woman, I was the first woman to travel with the team. Then there were two, then there was one, then there were three, then there were four, you know, and Rusty was hugely lauded in Japan for having such diversity in his team. There were four women, you know, and other countries were amazed at this.
Have you thought about the future, Anne Lee? It's 20 years, but what does the future hold for the First Lady of Springbok Rugby?
Yeah, you know, I think the future is just to spend a little time at home and to not travel for 8 months a year and to, you know, just to be with people, you know, my family and see friends again. And, you know, I'm still doing a little bit of commercial work for SA Rugby, and I think that I will always stay involved in some way if I can, to do some contract work and maybe some work in different sporting fields. But you know, for the now, I think that, you know, it's time for someone new to take over. And you know, wish the Springboks all the best and well in the rugby championship pursuit. And I, you know, I'm the proudest Springbok supporter that there is.
Well, you've done us proud. Congratulations on a fantastic career. Congratulations on the book. It's Anne Lee Murray, the First Lady of Springbok Rugby. And let me reiterate, with the team for 244 matches, in which time she worked with seven national coaches, 248 players, and 21 Springbok captains. It's been a fantastic career.
Thanks, Darren. It's as a pleasure always chatting to you. Thank you.
Many thanks for joining us on that Weekend Feeling with Darren Mann, brought to you by the Weekend Post and the Daily Dispatch Weekend Edition.
What would you do with 50,000 Rand? Win your share of 100,000 Rand when you enter the Daily Dispatch Cash Mania competition. You could win the grand prize of 50,000 Rand or one of 20 cash prizes of 2,500 Rands each. The competition closes on the 26th of September 2021, and an entry form is printed at the Daily Dispatch every day. Get your copy of the Daily Dispatch and enter now. Daily Dispatch, local, fearless, empowering you.
That was that Weekend Feeling with Darren Mann.